From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Today, the Senate overwhelmingly passed a bipartisan energy bill. The vote was 85 to 12. Now comes the hard part, trying to reconcile that version with the one the House passed in April, which is vastly different. NPR congressional correspondent David Wellna joins us now to talk about what lies ahead. David, what's in the Senate bill?
Well, Michelle, quite a bit, actually. The bill's more than 1,200 pages long. There are provisions to bolster the national electrical grid and avoid the kind of blackout that hit the Northeast two summers ago. There are tax breaks favoring the construction of nuclear power plants. There's a provision that allows the federal government to override state officials in deciding where to locate ports that would receive liquefied natural gas from abroad. It's a hugely explosive commodity that many fear could be targeted by terrorists, so that's a controversial measure. There's money for doing an inventory of oil and natural gas reserves in the country's outer continental shelf, despite strong opposition from Florida senators who both voted against the energy bill. It also provides for $1 billion in federal royalties for six states that do offshore oil drilling. And there's a provision that would double the amount of corn-based ethanol that's used nationwide as a gasoline additive, and it would boost it up to 8 billion gallons a year of ethanol. And the Senate also inserted a non-binding provision that endorses putting mandatory controls on carbon dioxide emissions to limit global warming. And that's a provision that's decidedly not backed by the White House.
With all that, the sponsors of the bill say it will make the U.S. less dependent on foreign sources of energy. Is that true?
That's highly doubtful. In fact, whatever increase in domestic oil production might result won't happen for many years, by which time the nation's need for oil will probably have risen even more. And there are no provisions in the bill for greater fuel efficiency in cars and trucks. The bill could, in fact, deepen reliance on foreign sources of liquefied natural gas. And in general, by striving to drive down fuel prices to the extent that they succeed in doing that, consumers will likely respond to cheaper prices by burning up even more fossil fuels.
Mm. And David, how does the Senate bill differ from the House version?
Well, overall, it's a greener bill than the House's version, besides the symbolic call for action to prevent climate change that I mentioned above. The Senate's bill does not authorize drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and the House bill does. The Senate bill also calls for $14 billion in tax breaks, 40% of which are for renewable energy, while the House calls for less than half that amount in tax breaks that are mainly for boosting domestic production of traditional fuels such as oil, gas, coal, and nuclear power. The House version also contains the same poison pill that killed the energy bill 2 years ago. It's a safe harbor provision that shields manufacturers of a poisonous fuel additive called MTBE from product liability lawsuits brought by states that are trying to prevent MTBE from contaminating drinking water. And the House GOP leaders also sharply opposed the Senate's bill's call for increasing to 10% the share of energy supplied to power plants that comes from renewable sources.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Michelle.
NPR's David Wellna at the Capitol.